For we, or maybe I should just speak for myself, I've found, especially in my clinical work, that using what I've learned from Jungian theory and what I've learned from Cohutian theory has allowed me to do more, to work with more types of people, to go a little further than just one theory alone. When you think about Jungian therapy, if we look at it in a clinical way for a while, the sort of process of Jungian therapy is to look at, understand, explore manifestations of the unconscious, whatever's coming up, whatever's pushing forward and being expressed. Now, when Jung describes this in the kind of classical Jungian way of looking at unconscious manifestations is through dreams, through the technique he developed of active imagination, through looking at myths and fairy tales, looking at different cultures, different religions, and those are all manifestations of the unconscious. But another way in which the unconscious manifests itself is through relationships and through certain patterns and ways that we all relate to each other. And this happens in a therapeutic relationship, just like in other sorts of relationships, but it's often very intense in a therapeutic relationship. And what Kohut has done has been to look at that therapeutic relationship and describe certain patterns that he saw over and over and over again. And we're going to talk about those patterns and describe them and look at them as being archetypal in terms of Jungian language. And this has been real helpful for me as a therapist, because so much of what goes on in the therapy is not just the reporting of dreams, but how the dreams are reported to me and how the person feels telling me the dream, and how the person feels being with me in the room. And Jungian therapy has not been as helpful for me in dealing with those kinds of unconscious manifestations as Cohutian theory has been. So that's where I'm coming from with it.
Maybe I could just go on a little bit on that same theme. That many of us value Jung very much because he has a transpersonal approach, and because you can see the transpersonal background to the individual. And that's very important if you look at the psyche from a religious point of view, which many of us do. But that's the great strength of it. The problem with it is that you can't ever really divorce the personal from the transpersonal. And you always need what we call a personalistic psychology. You need an approach to the individual that's based on what goes on between people rather than what goes on between the person and the transpersonal, or between man and God, depending on how you want to say it. But you have to have both. And we think that in the classical Jungian literature, there was too much emphasis on the transpersonal with some neglect of the personal. And what we're trying to do is bring the two together, because we don't think they can ever really be separated, but you need really a rather different language, although they interpenetrate. So we'll, as Kathy said, we'll look at the personalistic material that Kohut describes and try and explain what we think is the transpersonal background to that from a Jungian point of view. I think that will be of interest to people who are interested in the religious aspects, because that's actually our interest as well. But there's no point in being interested in religion and knowing a lot about the transpersonal and knowing a lot about Jungian symbolic thought if you don't know how to sit and talk to somebody. So Kohut's very useful for that.
The other thing we're going to do, it's not in this, but I think we might do it, is the place where Jung talks about the transference is in volume 16, where he likens it to the alchemical process and to the Rosarium pictures. And
so we might bring them together.
We might be able to talk about those in terms of how they fit into to Kohut's thinking.
Yeah. So for people who know Volume 16, Jung's work on the transference is in Volume 16. The book is called The Practice of Psychotherapy. Mm-hmm. And the second half of the book is on...
Yeah, hopefully we could get to that.
Yeah. But what we've done is look at those pictures, which are alchemical from a Cohutian point of view. Okay, so that's where we how we align ourselves. Any comments about that so far? We'd like this to be as much of an interchange as
possible. Yeah, feel free to, if you have questions, or everyone has a different amount of exposure to Jung and to Kohut. So,
also, as we get along, if you have cases, it would be useful to bring in cases.
Mm-hmm. If you have an easy definition of transpersonal.
That's a good question to start out with.
Well, it's not an easy question. Something which it really has two aspects to it. One is something that extends beyond the personal, and another is that it can be, it's common to all people. Okay. So when we talk about the difference between spirit and soul, we'll go into that some more. Are we ever going to get to spirit and soul?
Hopefully.
We should try and do that.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that spirit is transpersonal and soul is personal. We'll talk about it that way.
Yeah.
There are many of... Oh, I'm sorry. Another question.
I'm sorry. Just a question. I can actually see neither of you.
You're not used to disembodied voices.
Is that better? Okay.
Looks like...
Can you see
that? Little
Bob. Yeah. People on the stairway. I don't know.
Perfectly ringing.
Right here.
Seems a shame to waste it.
The
there is another chair up here.
The price is the same here.
In fact, you can come at the end. Do you
and there's a chair up front.
Very
classic.
There are lots of Jungian analysts who are very interested in personalistic psychologists, and many of them are interested in Kohut, many of them are interested in Robert Langs, many of them are interested in Melanie Klein, for this reason, that they, many of us feel that you need some kind of personalistic psychology, and there are lots of points of contact with Jung and Kohut, but as you were pointing out, there are some important differences. Mm-hmm. We'll try and bring them out.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most interesting points of similarity is that Kohut has been in the psychoanalytic literature has been regarded as metaphysical and a defector from the psychoanalytic establishment, which of course was exactly Jung's fate in 1912 or whenever that was. Kohut, interestingly enough, when he was writing about why there was such anger towards him among the psychoanalytic establishment, said he thought that a lot of the classical analysts in their own training analysis had had such terrible experiences and such poor analytic experiences that they were left with huge narcissistic deficits. So belonging to a community which adhered to a particular philosophy made up for the narcissistic deficit that was never healed during their own analysis. In other words, it just made them feel good to belong to a sort of me too, what we would now call a twinship community. We'll talk more about that. And this accounts for the kind of rigid adherence to classical theory and some of the opposition to Kohut nowadays, and also, we think, to some of the opposition to Jung in his day.